It is so nice to see you all with us today. I did want to share with the third graders especially that when you look at a Bible, it's not really meant to be read from the front to the back like a normal book is. You actually, as time goes along, there may be certain books that you want to work on first. And I would suggest the first book that you look at is the Gospel of Mark, because it's the shortest of the Gospels, and it has the story about Jesus in there. And then as you get older and as you begin to understand, you'll be able to kind of expand your reading and understanding of what God intends for you to know about the life and love of Jesus Christ, okay? So, and even though there are some things in the Bible that are very boring, even for us adults, just stick with it and don't give up, because there's a lot of important things to learn and to grow in. Well, Jesus begins in our gospel reading for this day saying to his disciples, "Who are people saying that I am?" And he gets a bunch of different responses. There are some who say Elijah, some say John the Baptist, some say a prophet. And then he says to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And as they all kind of look at each other, it is Peter who steps up. And I don't even know if Peter realizes what he is saying, but he says, "You are the Messiah." And then Jesus begins to tell them exactly what will happen with the Messiah, that he will be delivered up and that he will die. And in 3 days, he will rise again. And as he's speaking these things, I can just sense the uncomfortableness settling in on the disciples as they're listening to Jesus saying these things. This is the first time in the Gospel of Mark that he speaks this stuff. After all, they committed their lives to following Jesus, and their understanding was that Jesus was going to restore the kingdom. That is, they're thinking of the nation of Israel back to the days of David when everything was wonderful and the Israel was at its most powerful, and that Rome would be moved out, the occupiers would be gone. And all of a sudden, they're hearing their dreams are being dashed here. And not only that, but that Jesus is saying he himself is going to die. And so Peter speaks up and he says, no, for God forbid, we're not going to let this happen. And it says that he rebukes Jesus. That's pretty strong stuff. But I want to say to you that I think there are times that we as Christians do the same thing. You know, God is showing us something, and we're seeing it differently, and we're saying, no, God forbid. And so we literally rebuke Jesus. In some cases, we don't even remember what Jesus is all about, because we find ourselves in that judgment mode, in that attitude and understanding. That's not our Jesus. But I want to suggest to you that you need to listen, to hear how God speaks to you and to speak through you. That it's not necessarily about, it's not even at all what it is that I want or what you want. It's what God wants for us. Now, if I were to ask you, and I know since many of you don't know me, it'd be very hard for you to describe, you know, who do people say that Pastor Dave is? And there's some things that you could, you know, you automatically know. Number one, he's senior pastor here. He's only been here for a couple of months. Secondly, that he's a big guy. Thirdly, that much to his wife's dismay, that oftentimes he comes in and his hair is unsettled and it's all over the place because he's thinking about other things ahead of that. So if she's not here, it doesn't get combed. It's just life. He is also has a tendency, well, it's not a it just happens. His glasses just keep sliding down his nose and he's poking them back up. And then he tells these terrible jokes, these terrible puns. And just, you can listen, or actually Pastor Aaron just ignores me, but
what's that?
See, he's learning already, so. But, you know, who am I? You know, I would hope that you would see me as a child of God. I would hope that you would see me as Christ's servant, the same as we would see in each other. You know, my responsibilities is that I am a called and ordained pastor to this community where I am to rightly see that the sacraments are administered and the word of God is rightly preached. But everything else is all about us as a community. It's not necessarily, you know, up to Pastor Aaron and I to do all the prayers, and it's not up to us to do all the teaching, and it's not up to us to do all the things that need to be done to keep this building together in one piece, and it's not up to us to bring in new members. It's up for all of us to do these things. You see how we can get kind of skewed, though, because we make assumptions about people in certain ways. When they come in, we might say, oh, that looks like a person I think I'd like to know, or that person doesn't seem to, kind of a little odd. And we begin to make these prejudgments even before we know people. And when we do that, we lose that opportunity to minister to them. That's part of the problem with us because, you know, we have these preconceived notions that, well, if this person comes from here or this person comes from here, that they're going to be different because they come from outside of Plainfield Township or Grand Rapids Township. You know, in my former parish, there was a little community east of Warren where everybody, if they wanted to say something, you know, not very nice, that person must be from Clarendon, you know. They're just different down there. And the funny thing is that the people of Clarendon says, that person must be pretty odd. They must be from Warren. It's the same thing when we talk about schools and all those kinds of things. We make judgments, you know, oh, that school, that's where those kids go from. And that school's where, you know, that's the good school. That's the school that everybody should be at. And we've got the best thing here. And then we begin the sense of rivalry, which is okay, but not to the sense that it says you're less than we are. You see how we make these notions? And so when Jesus asks, and he's not just asking the disciples, he's asking the readers of the gospel, who do people say that I am? You know, we can come up with all kinds of various answers in addition to what the disciples already shared. He's a miracle worker. He's a nice man. But we miss his message. And we too would probably reject the fact that he was to be delivered up. We don't like that image. In fact, there's many people who claim that they are Christians who will jump over that Good Friday. They will have nothing to do with the cross because they don't like it. It's a bad image. But in order for us to understand just how deeply God loves us, we need to look squarely at the cross. We need to hear Jesus saying to us, if anyone wants to follow me, let them deny themselves, pick up their cross, and follow me. That means putting yourself aside. That means taking all those things, all these notions that you have about how God should be, but in reality we see God breaking in such weird and wonderful ways. And it started from that very beginning of Jesus' life. Even before that, when we hear about the world and its creation, and in the beginning was the Word, and it's saying that Jesus was even present at creation. And I don't think we really think about that too much. It's not until we get to that Bethlehem story, that Luke 2 story, that we hear about Jesus through the angels and the proclamation to the shepherds and Mary and Joseph in the inn. And we find that this announcement's not made even in the most important places. It's not in Jerusalem. It's not in the big cities. It's not to the hoi polloi, the high and mighty. It's to the low people. It's the people that you would think that why would God even bother with them? But he does. It's to them that he proclaims. He says, you know, blessed are you who struggle in your life. Blessed are those who hunger. Blessed are those who are meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. Those are the ones, you know, who are usually unpopular in a nationalistic society. Because everybody's rah-rah in one way, but they fail to see the way of Christ. Jesus tells us over and over again, this one that is asking us who we think he is. He is not a one who wages war. He tells his disciples to put away their swords when they come to get him. He is not one who ignores the needs of those who are hungry or those who are hurting or struggling, those that society considers less than we ourselves, those who are different from us. And we will point to Scripture, and we will make these accusations, and we lose these opportunities that we ourselves can be sharing in this good news of Jesus Christ, because we want to keep others at hand's length. That's not the Jesus I know. And I hope it's not the Jesus that you know. The Jesus I know is the one who has forgiven me. And not only me, but he's forgiven all of you. Each and every one of you. And I don't care if you don't believe that, because God does. God, through Christ, forgives you, whether you feel it or not. And it's not based on our feelings. It doesn't mean because I don't feel good, God doesn't forgive me. Maybe you're just not hearing his word today. It's not that the Spirit isn't present in your life. The Spirit is there. He's working within you, trying to get you to see what it is that we need to see in order to do God's work. And then there are those of us who adhere to readings like James and to the laws of Leviticus and those kinds of things. And if we strive to live according to what all this stuff is, you know what? We're all doomed. If we believe that God is a just God, we're all doomed. There's not one of us. Not one of us who has earned the gift of God's grace. And that's where we begin to kind of slide away from Jesus. The moment we say, oh, you're a bad boy, you're a bad girl. The moment that we say a certain society is not allowed to be a part of our community. Because we put ourselves, the moment we point fingers, they come right back to us. Don't we recall Jesus telling that understanding of when they were ready to stone the woman about something about a speck in their eye and taking the log out of your own? That's why the news is good news. And today, we should embrace it. Indeed, we should be able to shout out amen and to give praise to God, because he has given you this new life, this ability to be born again on a daily basis. God never says no to us. Jesus still stands at the door knocking and asking us to come in. And if we don't, it's our own fault. And so the invitation is there for you to know who it is that Jesus is. Who do you say that he is? I say he's the Son of God. I say he is the one who has taught me about what it is to be compassionate and caring, just as he has been with me. He is the one who has forgiven me those things that I don't really want you to know about me, because I have hurt people too. And he is the one who has wrapped his arms around me when I feel like an utter failure and I don't have anywhere to go. And he is the one that has lifted me up in those moments and says, you are mine. That's the Jesus who I believe. Today, God has forgiven you. You have heard his words of pardon at the beginning of this service, and now you are invited to take hold of Jesus as he is given to you through this bread and wine at this table, reminding you that you indeed are forgiven, that you indeed are loved by God, and that you indeed have received the gift of eternal life. What more could you ask for? So come and receive. But when you leave these doors, just know that in our own imperfect way, we strive to love. That's key in this life. I love because God loved me first. And it doesn't matter. I'll never achieve that sense of being equal with God or Christ. There's just no way that that's going to happen. And God says, that's okay. Just like, remember Babe, the little pig? And the farmer saying to him, that'll do, pig, that'll do. I sometimes feel, not to, you know, to make me feel so small, but it's that kind of a thing. That'll do, David, that'll do. and he says the same to you. So come, receive, believe, and worship the true Christ, the one who welcomes all, and the one in whom we speak from, and the one in whom we share to others. Amen.